Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. Mark and I are here today to chat with you all about leadership. So how this is going to go is basically Mark's going to talk about leadership, and I'm going to be here for moral support.
But I think you'll find out leadership's important for you, too.
Okay.
And yeah, we probably heard leadership, we've seen it, whether we've studied leadership before or we just know it by name. I'm going to break down what I mean by leadership, and I'm going to show that leadership is for everyone. And that may sound like a cliche, but I'm going to make that very clear.
All right.
With some practical examples, and I think that's what we'll jump into.
Sounds good.
So should we care about having leadership really at all? And especially if we're not actually like managers of people. So if we're not managers of people, should we care about leadership? Or should we just say, well, if I'm a manager, I should definitely care about leadership. But if I'm not a manager, then I'll let my manager care about leadership. I don't know. Maybe that's what you were thinking a little bit.
Well, my guess is the answer is yes, we should care about leadership regardless.
Yeah, in fact, I'll get into this a little bit more later, but leadership can be even more important for people that actually aren't managers of people. But before we dive into that, we should back up a little bit with what do I mean by leadership? What do we mean by leadership? And very roughly and simply, leadership is the ability to get others to help you achieve some goal. So I'll say that again, the ability to get others to help you achieve some goal.
Right. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You're telling me leadership applies to everyone. And others may be thinking similar things, right? That I don't have a leadership role. This doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. So I hinted at this a little bit earlier. And yeah, so what happens if I'm a stay-at-home mom or dad, or if I work in a job where I'm an individual contributor, maybe, you know, I have a manager, but I'm not a manager. Why should I care about leadership? Well, maybe I'll ask you, Fallon, do you care about having your kids help you clean the house or maybe keep some peace in the house? Do you care about me helping you around the house?
Oh, so I'm a leader of you.
Yes. You can show leadership.
I do care about those things.
Yeah. Or let's say you're an individual contributor at work. So maybe you're not a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, but you're an individual contributor at work. Do you care about being able to do good work and that the people around you are doing their job properly so that you can get done with your job, get home, hang out with your family, or do something, you know, that you like to do? If you care about those things, you should care about leadership, which is why this is an important topic for mm-hmm. us today.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit ago that it can be even more important to have those leadership skills if you are not a leader of people. So yeah. My guess is you're going to kind of get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a tease, but I'll talk about it too. All right. It's really important topic. So the reason that it's true that it's very important to have leadership, especially if you're not a manager of people, it's because there's fundamentally two ways to lead. You can lead through power or you can lead through authority. And if you're a manager of people, you can choose to lead through power, although hint, bad idea, or you can lead through authority, great idea. But if you're not a manager of people, your only option is to lead through authority. So, power and authority, what do I mean by these two things? So, there's a great book, we've mentioned it on the podcast before. It's called The Servant by James C. Hunter. And he describes these two ways to lead. And he says, leading through power is the ability to force or coerce someone to do your will, even if they would choose not to, because of your position or your might.
Okay. Could you give like a real life example of what that might look like?
Yeah. So an easy one would be if you're in a job, most of us have had jobs. We've probably had a boss. If your boss makes you do something, whether you like it or not, especially if you don't like it, makes you do something, it doesn't make any sense to you. You don't understand why, but he just makes you do it, or she makes you do it because they're your boss. They say, do it. Why? Because I said so. That's leading through power. They're in a position of power, and they can use that power to make you do something or coerce you to do something, whether you like it or not. That's leading through power.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or you can lead through authority. Again, back to James Hunter's book, he says leading through authority is influencing others to willingly do what you want them to do, not because you hold power over them, but because you've built a relationship with them.
Okay, so same question. I want a real life example of what this might look like.
Yeah. And let's use the same example. Most of us have been workers that have had bosses. I know I have. How about a similar example? Have you ever had a boss that you actually felt like cared about you, or maybe even helped you, and you wanted to help your boss accomplish some goal? That's probably because he had some authority, or she had some authority, and she built that authority, or he built that authority by building a relationship with you. So you knew why you were doing it. You knew it was important. You wanted to do it. You felt a sense of accomplishment when you got it done. You didn't feel like it was against your will. You actually felt a sense of accomplishment that you did it. That's because your boss was leading through authority.
So it sounds like authority. I mean, you talk about relationships, you know, building a relationship. So I think we've talked about on the podcast before, like relational equity, that term. Yeah. Would you say leading through authority is...
Yes.
Through building relational equity, and then because you have that relational equity,
yes,
you're better able to lead the people or person effectively.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And you mentioned earlier, maybe we'll use this too. How about in your household with your kids? Now, there's an interesting thing. You can still choose to lead through power with your kids, or you can choose to lead through authority. And Fallon, you and I have had many conversations. Leading through power doesn't work so well.
Yeah.
Even if you say, do this thing because I said so right now.
Yeah.
If you are at a deficit in your relationship with your kids, then it doesn't work. But what if you lead through authority, which is you've built a relationship with them and they trust you, and the thing you're trying to get accomplished, you're doing it together and they feel good about it.
Yeah.
So you can do that at home too. So yeah, that's leading through power or leading through authority. There's this interesting thing, though, that all great leaders strive to only lead through authority, because there's an interesting thing that happens when you lead through power. We've talked about it a little bit, but leading through power always comes at a cost. The cost is you are eroding the relationship because you're forcing someone against their will. So if it's your kids and you're forcing them to do something, it's against their will, you're eroding the relationship in some way. Your coworkers, your spouse, I couldn't coerce you against your will, but maybe you could do the opposite to me. That would erode our relationship. So, or if you're a supervisor at work and you choose to continually lead through power, what always happens is it will reduce your ability to lead with authority. And it will lead to, let's say in this case, if you're a supervisor at work, it'll lead to your employees wanting to leave or kind of start talking bad about you so that maybe you'll get replaced. Not good. So all great leaders lead through authority, not through power.
Okay, so leading through authority, we know that is the better way to lead versus through power. So can you kind of talk to us about how effective leaders or how great leaders do this? How do they lead?
Yes.
Through authority?
Yes, I can. So I said a little bit that leading through authority means that you have to have a relationship. You actually called it relationship equity. I think that was a great thing.
Relational equity.
Relational equity. Yes. So that's how they do it. And what's the single greatest key to building relationships with people? So if you want to lead and lead through authority, what's the single greatest key to building relationship? It's through service. And you may have heard this concept called servant leadership. This is the most important way to lead and build relationships and also to lead through authority. It builds great leadership and influence. And it's true with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your boss, your employees, your volunteers at some organization, any relationship in your life. This is the single greatest way to build relationships so that you can lead with authority.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes me think of the best example we have, right? Which is Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. And so I love this concept.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. He's the perfect picture of servant leadership. You quoted the scripture there, and look at the influence he had. Mm-hmm. It's still going. The way he built relationships with people, you know, you think about all the different ways he healed and served and taught. And, you know, we have this great example of him washing the disciples' feet, which was unheard of for the sort of teacher or the rabbi to do that, you know. So Jesus is the perfect picture of servant leadership. And yes, it is the single greatest key, the single greatest way to build relationships with people and to lead with authority. But let's keep going. How do you do it? How do you be a servant leader? Well, again, I think it's simple. You just simply meet the needs of people around you. Meet their needs.
So how would you figure that out? How would you figure out what the people around you, what their needs are? Because wouldn't they vary from person to person, or?
Yes, you're right. They will vary from person to person. But there's a great way to start. A simple way to start that requires basically no groundwork. And that is, what are your own needs? So think about it. Actually, just sit and think about it. What are your own needs in life and in relationships? If you think about your greatest relationships, or you can use a counterexample, think about your bad relationships, and you can sort of compare and contrast. And so I'm just going to go through a few things that I think we'll all be able to relate to. And these are needs that are pretty fundamental. Use these. So in the relationships you have with your kids, with your spouse, family, coworkers, whatever, meet their needs. First one I wanted to talk about is respect. Pretty simple. Never disrespect others. And this is really important. Maybe they're not doing a good job. Maybe you gave them some task and they're not doing great. Maybe your kids will not help you clean up. Maybe your spouse just never sees the dirty clothes on the floor. I'm kind of calling on myself on that one. But never disrespect them. If you disrespect people around you, you will lose relationship with them, and it hinders your ability to lead with authority. You will lose it.
Well, and I think a common thing that we often think of when it comes to respect is, well, they're not respecting me, so I'm not going to respect them. And that's an incorrect way of thinking. You do what you're supposed to do, yeah. Right? And we know from the example of Jesus that we are to love or to respect others. So whether or not we're being respected, we are still to respect. And when we do that, I think, well, and I've seen it actually in my own life, that other person who is disrespecting us is kind of like, whoa. Mm. You know, what's going on here? Now, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to change their behavior, right? They may still be disrespectful to you, but it kind of gets them to think and say, oh, wow, you know, they're being respectful to me and I'm treating them very poorly. Yeah. And it could lead to a behavior change on their part too.
Yeah. We don't have to go too deep on this, but you mentioned earlier, you joked earlier, oh, I get to lead you, you know, because we talked about relationships with spouses. And we've talked about this a little bit, where if you want me to do something, just starting with a little bit of, and we've talked about this with marriage, some of our marriage talks too, starting with more of a, hey, when you did that, it made me feel this way, versus lashing out.
Yeah.
If you want to get to a better outcome, that's an example of leadership. You're displaying leadership, because what you're doing is building relationship so that you can get, so you remember the rough definition, accomplishing some goal together. That's mm-hmm. what you want to do. You want to get better together. So just a very direct example with maybe your spouse. Okay, next one. Encouragement. So respect, number one. Number two, what's another need that we have? Encouragement. So encourage others, and not just when they're doing something you want them to do. Encourage them on victories and progress in their own life that has nothing related to something that you want them to do or don't want them to do. But find those ways to say, hey, great job on this, or great job on that, or I noticed how you did that. That's really cool. Encourage one another. We need encouragement, and it builds relationship.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, encouraging people on, you talked about like personal victories or successes, I think that shows people that we actually care about them as a person, not just as our coworker or employee, for example, if we happen to have that kind of relationship with them. So I do think that is very valuable. And, you know, the Bible also tells us to encourage one another, build each other up. And I think that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So we know that's something that's important to do.
Yeah, back to the Jesus being the perfect example. We will definitely see scripture back us up on these time and time again. One, respect. Two, encouragement. Three, responsibility. Find ways to give others responsibility and independence. This will give them a sense of control, and they will feel trusted. Now, make sure you give them the tools and training and guidance and guardrails that they need, so don't just throw them in the deep end, but give them some responsibility. And let them make mistakes. You know, correct them, that's fine, but respectfully, of course. But give them responsibility. And we need this. We need responsibility, because it's how we sort of grow. We go to that next stage in our life. So that's the third one I want to talk about, which is if you want to build a relationship with people, find ways to give them responsibility. Give them something that they can accomplish and, yeah, feel like they're in control. Give them control.
This makes me think of a lot of parenting and about giving your children age-appropriate choices. Kind of giving them, and that's responsibility, right? So at a young age, say maybe even 2 years old or maybe younger, they can choose what they want to wear that day. You give them the option of two outfits. You know, you don't just put them in their closet and say, pick something. That's not, that's not an age appropriate choice, and that would overwhelm them, but, and not help them feel a sense of responsibility or accomplishment or independence. But if you give them two choices, you know, at age one or two, then that does build that sense of independence in them and builds relational equity with your kiddos.
Exactly. Same is true at work. So if you're at work, if you're a manager, find ways to give your employees responsibility. Give them something that they're responsible for, that they can feel accomplished, they have control, and then they can feel good when they accomplish it. If you're an individual contributor, and maybe you're maybe you've got a new person starting, maybe you can find ways, even if you can do it better, find ways to give them the responsibility to do it, to learn. Yeah, make mistakes and you can help them through it, but that's actually how they'll grow. So, and now what you're doing is building relationship with them so that you're building up that relational equity so you can lead with authority.
This brought to mind micromanaging.
Yes.
This would be the opposite.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, exactly. Next one, impact. So make sure others know the impact of what they're of the goal they're trying to accomplish or that you want them to accomplish. Fallon, you will talk about this to me with our kids many times. I'll say to do something or we need to do something. You'll say, tell them why. Explain to them why.
I do say that, don't I?
Yeah. And it's so important. The why is so critical. Because the why is what attaches them to sort of, okay, the purpose of what we're trying to actually accomplish.
It makes me think of, right, leading through power. Do it because I said so.
Yeah.
You don't take the time to give the why, whereas I feel like we're talking about leading through authority, you are taking the time to give that why and explain so to help them get on board and understand where you're coming from.
So you've been doing that. You didn't even know it. But, make sure they understand why it's important. And again, then you can go along together to accomplish the thing. Okay, next one, last one I'll talk about a little bit here is help. So when you want to meet people's needs, help them. And this is pretty simple, you know, just jump in and help. Even if it's not your job, even if you're trying to, you know, make them, they should be able to do it on their own. Those times where you just jump in and help especially when it's not your job, or when it's especially not your responsibility, or when it, especially when it has nothing to do with something you're trying to accomplish. So if you're just jumping to help someone with your kids, for example, they made the mess, they should clean it up, and then you jump in and help. If you're at work and a coworker is struggling, is behind on something, and you jump in to help, even though that's not your line, that's not your job, you jump in and help. You're building relationship, you're meeting their needs, and it builds your ability to lead. So help. So we all need leadership. It's important for all of us. Fallon, you were like, can I just check out on this episode? You can handle this one. Unfortunately, you can't. And by the way, you do a great job leading in our house. You lead me.
I don't know about
you,
that.
You show leadership with me a lot.
Okay.
And you do with our kids as well. So yes, we all need leadership, whether we're in a job, with, especially if we're managers of people. You really need to work on leadership and building these relationships with people. So we all need it. You can lead through power or you can lead through authority. But we should always strive to lead through authority. Leading through power leads to eroding relationships and, yeah, bad outcomes. In fact, you won't have any followers that are helping you accomplish anything because they're going to not want to work with you, whether that's your family or whether that's workers on the job. And the best way to lead through authority is through service. Being a servant leader, just like Jesus was, the perfect picture that we have. And through that service, what it does is it builds relationships with people by meeting their needs. So when you meet people's needs, it builds your relationship and helps you lead through authority. And we went through just simple five ways: respect, encourage, give responsibility, let them know the impact, and help. So
I just want to remind everyone that if you are finding this stuff helpful, please share this on social media, tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff, just so we can reach more people and hopefully it can be beneficial to others as well.
Yeah, and if you have any thoughts or ideas about the content, we'd love to see their comments, or you can email us. We will put the email address in the description. We'll check that and make sure we respond. And also, we'll respond on the show too if we find out one of the questions is something that other people might want to see too.